Hi all memory super heroes, this podcast is for memory recall aspirants who want to learn faster and want to achieve maximum in their life by keeping all their limitations behind. I am your memory coach CD. Today in this lesson, we are going to learn about the subconscious mind and we are going to learn what is subconscious mind according to Mr. William Walker Atkinson. In his book, Mind and Body or Mental States and Physical Condition, he is explaining about the subconscious mind. He says, in order to understand the nature of the influence of the mind upon the body, the effect of mental states upon physical features, physical functions, we must know something of that wonderful field of mental activity, which in the new psychology is known as the subconscious mind, and which by some writers have been styled the subjective mind. It is styled as the subjective mind or the involuntary mind. Or the subliminal mind, or the unconscious mind, etc. He has given it different names like subjective mind, involuntary mind, or subliminal mind, or the unconscious mind. The difference in names arising because of the comparative newness of the investigation and classification. Among the various functions of the subconscious mind, one of the most important is that of the charge and control of the involuntary activities and functions of the human body through the agency of the sympathetic nervous systems, the cells and the cells groups. Cell groups. Whoever want to learn the physiology should know the greater part of the activities of the body are involuntary, that is, are independent or partly so of the control of the conscious will. He quotes, as Dr. Schofield says, the unconscious mind, in addition to the three qualities which it shares in common with the conscious, for example, will, intellect and emotion, has undoubtedly another very important one, nutrition or the general maintenance of the body. And he's quoting Hudson. He says, as Hudson states, the subjective mind has absolute control of the functions, conditions and sensations of the body. Notwithstanding the dispute which is still raising concerning what the subconscious mind is, the authorities all agree upon the fact that whatever else it may be considered as that phase, aspect, part or field of the mind which has charge and control of the greater part of the physical functioning of the body. You also quoting Von Hartmann, he says, Von Hartmann says, the explanation that unconscious activity itself appropriately forms and maintains the body has not only nothing to be said against it, but has all the possible analogies from the most different departments of physical and animal life in its favor, and appears to be as scientifically certain as is possible in the inference from effect to cause. He says, modestly says, the connection of mind and body is such that a given state of mind tends to echo itself at once in the body. Carpenter says, if a psychosis or mental state is produced by neurosis or material nerve state, as pain by a prick, so also is a neurosis produced by a psychosis. That mental antecedents call forth physical consequence is just as certain as that physical antecedents call forth mental consequence. Duke says, mind through sensory, motor, vasomotor and trophic nerves causes changes in sensation, muscular contraction, nutrition and secretion. If the brain is an outgrowth from a body corpuscle and is in immediate relation with the structures and tissues that precedate it, then though these continue to have their own action, the brain must be expected to act upon the muscular tissue, the organic functions and upon the nervous system itself. Those look, these quotes or the people who are saying this looks little technical, but then it is all related to the mind and body. Von Hartmann also says, in willing any conscious act, the unconscious will is evoked to institute means to bring about the effect. Thus, if I will a stronger salivary secretion, the conscious willing of this effect excites the unconscious will to institute the necessary means. Mothers are said to be able to provide through the will a more copious secretion if the sight of the child arouses in them the will to suckle. There are people who perspire voluntarily and now possess the power of instantaneously reducing the severest hiccups to silence my own will, while it was formerly a source of great inconvenience to me. An irritation to cough, which has no mechanical cause, may be permanently suppressed by the will. I believe we might possess a far greater voluntary power over our bodily function if we were only accustomed from childhood to institute experiments and to practice ourselves therein. We have arrived at the conclusion that every action of the mind on the body, without exception, is only possible by means of an unconscious will. That such an unconscious will can be called forth partly by means of a conscious will, partly also through the conscious idea of the effect without conscious will, and even in opposition to the conscious will. He's quoting Henry Wood. Henry Wood says of the subconscious mind, it acts automatically upon the physical organism. It cognizes external facts, conditions, limitations, and even contagions quite independent of its active counterpart. One may therefore take a disease and be unaware of any exposure. The subconsciousness has been unwittingly trained to fear and accept it, and it is the quality rather than the mere inert matter of the body that comes. Matter is never the actor, but is always acted upon. This silent mental partner in operation seems to be living, thinking personality, conducting affairs on its own account. It is a compound of almost unimaginable variety, including wisdom and foolishness, logic and nonsense, and yet having a working unitary economy. It is hidden, forced to be dealt with and educated, for it is often found insubordinate and unruly. It refuses cooperation with its lesser but more active and wiser counterpart. It is very set in its view and only changes its qualities and opinions by slow degrees. But like a pair of horses, not until these two mental factors can be trained together can there be harmony and efficiency. In order to understand the important part played in the physical economy by the subconscious mind, it is only necessary to understand the various processes of the human system which are out of the ordinary field of the voluntary or conscious mind. We then realize that the entire process of nutrition, including digestion, assimilation, etc., the process of elimination, the process of circulation, the process of growth, in fact, the entire processes manifested in the work of the cells, cell groups, ganglia, physical organs, etc., are in charge of and controlled by the subconscious mind. Our food is digested and transformed into the nourishing substances of the blood, then carried through the arteries to all parts of the body, where it is absorbed by the cells and is used to replace the worn out material. The latter then being carried back through the veins to the lungs, where the waste matter is burned up, and the balance again sent on its journey through the arteries, recharged with the life-giving oxygen. All of these processes and many others of almost equal importance are out of the field of the conscious or voluntary mind and are governed by the subconscious mind. As we shall see when we consider the sympathetic nervous system, the greater part of the body is dominated by the subconscious mind, and that the welfare of the major physical functions depend entirely or almost so upon this greater area or field of the mind. The best authorities now generally agree that there is no part of the body which may be considered as devoid of mind. The subconscious mind is not confined to the brain or even the greater plexus of the nervous system, but extends to all parts of the body, to every nerve, muscle, and even to every cell and cell group of the body. The functions and the processes of the body are no longer considered as purely mechanical or chemical, but are now seen to be the result of mental action of some kind or degree. Therefore, in considering the subconscious mind, one must not think of it as resident in the brain alone, but rather as being distributed over the entire physical body. There is mind in every cell, every organ, every muscle, every nerve, in every part of the body. The importance of the above statements regarding the power and importance of the subconscious mind may be realized when one remembers the dictum of the new psychology, to wit, the subconscious mind is amenable to suggestion. When it is realized that this great control of the physical organism is so constituted that it accepts as truth the suggestions from the conscious mind of its owner, as well as those emanating from the conscious minds of other people. It may be understood why faith, belief, and expectant attention manifest such marked effects upon the physical body and the general health, for good or for evil, as indicated in the preceding lessons. All of the many instances and examples recited in the preceding chapters may be understood when it is realized that the subconscious mind, which is in control of the physical functions and vital processes, and will accept the suggestions from the conscious mind of its owner, and also suggestions from outside which the conscious mind of its owner allows to pass down to it. If, as Henry Wood has said in the paragraph previously quoted, it act automatically upon the physical organism and seems to be living, thinking, personality, conducting affairs on its account, and at the same time accept and take in suggested conditions, it may be readily understood how the wonderful and almost incredible statements of the authorities mentioned in the preceding chapters have had real and substantial basis in truth. So this way, he suggests that subconscious mind is not only present in the mind, it is present everywhere, in every nerve, in every organ. And conscious mind of the owner controls the subconscious mind. What kind of feeding you are giving, you'll get that kind of result. He further says, this understanding of the part played by the subjective mind or the subconscious mind in controlling and affecting physical conditions and activities, together with its suggestible qualities and nature, gives us a key to the whole question of the why of mental healing. Why of mental healing? Suggestion is the connecting link between mind and body, and an understanding of its laws and principles enables us to see the moving cause of the strange phenomena of faith cures under whatever name they may pass and under whatever guise they may present themselves. Suggestion is the explanation offered by the new psychology for the almost miraculous phenomena which other schools seek to explain upon some hypothesis based either upon religious beliefs or upon some metaphysical or philosophical doctrine. The new psychology holds that it is not necessary to go outside of the realms of the psychology and physiology in studying mental healing or psychotherapy, and that the theories of the semi-religious and metaphysical cults are merely strange guises or masks which serve to conceal the real operative principle of cure. He quotes the following quotation from Dr. Schofield will serve to call the attention to the important part played by the subconscious mind in the physical activities, a fact which is not generally recognized. And Dr. Schofield says, it has often been a mystery how the body thrives so well with so little oversight or care on the part of its owner. No machine could be constructed, nor could any combination of solids or liquids in organic compounds regulate, control, counteract, help, hinder, or arrange for the continual succession of differing events, foods, surroundings, and conditions which are constantly affecting the body. And yet, in the midst of this ever-changing and varying succession of influences, the body holds on its course of growth, health, nutrition, and self-maintenance with the most marvelous constancy. We perceive, of course, clearly that is the best qualities, regulation, control, etc., are all mental qualities. And at the same time, we are equally clear that by no self-examination can we say consciously exercise any of these mental powers over the organic processes of our bodies. One would think then that the conclusion is sufficiently simple and obvious, that they must be used unconsciously. In other words, it is and can be nothing else than the unconscious mental powers that control, guide, and govern the function and organs of the body. He says, our ordinary textbooks on physiology give but little idea of what I may call the intelligence that presides over the various systems of the body, showing itself in the bones, as we have seen, in distributing the available but insufficient amount of lime salts in disease, not equally but for the protection of the most vital parts, leaving those of lesser value disproportionately deficient. In the muscular system, nearly all contractions are involuntary. Even in the voluntary so-called muscles, the most we can do is to will results. We do not will the contractions that carry out these results. Muscles striped and unstriped are ceasingly acting without the slightest consciousness in maintaining the balance of the body, the expression of the face, the general attributes corresponding to mental states, the carrying on the digestion and other processes with the purposiveness and adaptation of means to new ends and new conditions, ceaselessly arising, that are beyond all material mechanism. Consider, for instance, the marvelous increase of smooth muscle in the uterus at term, and also its no less marvelous subsequent involution. Observe to the compensating muscular increase of the damaged heart until the balance is restored and the necessity for it ceases, as does growth at a fixed period. Consider in detail the repair of the broken bone. These actions are not mere properties of matter, they demand and are the result of a controlling mind. So he says the whole thing, the whole process is the result of controlling mind. It's not something which is happening day by day. It is our mind or subconscious mind controls it. The circulation does not go round as most textbooks would lead us to believe, as the result merely of the action of a system of elastic tubes connected with the self-acting force pump. It is such views as this that degrade physiology and obscure the marvels of the body. The circulation never flows for 2 minutes in the same manner. In an instant, miles of capillaries are closed or opened up according to the ever-varying body needs, of which consciously we are entirely unaware. The blood supply of each organ is not mechanical, but is carefully regulated from minute to minute in health, exactly according to its needs and activities. And when this ever fails, we at once recognize it as disease and call it congestion and so forth. The very heartbeat itself is never constant, but varies pro rata with the amount of exercise, activity and vital functions, of conditions of temperature, etc., and even of the emotions and other direct mental feelings. The whole reproductive system is obviously under the sway and guidance of more than blind material forces. In short, when thoroughly analyzed, the action and regulation of no system of the body can be satisfactorily explained without postulating an unconscious mental element, which does, if allowed, satisfactorily explain all its phenomena. Explain all the phenomena. So this way he tells about the subconscious mind. Means there is a power inside us which control everything, and it's not something like that which we study from the textbooks. Everything is dependent, and if one heartbeat misses or there is a less supply of blood, or we are not exercising, or we are not giving nutrition to our body, we can find in terms of disease that we are building a disease inside our body. So all the functions are controlled by the owner, the mind, and subconscious mind present everywhere in every part of the body. This is what I got the conclusion from this book or this chapter. Hope you would have understood what he is trying to tell. So with this, we will stop here, and in the next lesson, I will bring some more concept, though it is more technical, but then something you can deduce, something you can get out of this lesson. So thank you very much for listening, and stay tuned for next lesson. Until then, keep learning and keep growing.